This is our officially fourth episode into the foray into our podcast.
Fourth or third? I believe it's our third.
Well, remember, we only officially aired three, but we did...
We redid two because we felt too sloppy.
That's what screwed me up. I messaged you up on Saturday. I'm like, when are we doing it? You're like, Dave, we came in on Monday.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it. I'm like, I worked all day. I literally went in there for like half hour and I was gone. It was a short...
Yeah, we changed this around now. So now that all our predictions and all our previews will all add up, we won't be saying dumb crap like, oh, by the time we say this prediction... it will already have passed because,
yeah.
No, this time when you hear this episode, it'll be fresh. It'll be right before UFC 235. So when we give our predictions in 5 minutes, it'll be legitly relevant.
Wait, dude. Are you airing this before Saturday?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's
so let's jump into it, eh?
Yeah.
So we jump into 235?
Oh my god,
let's
okay.
Let's do it. So starting off UFC 235.
Let's work from the bottom to the top.
Bottom to
the top.
This isn't really...
Pick your guy you're going for.
Yep.
Even if I like him, I'll try to argue for the other guy because I know Sanchez so well, dude.
Yeah, so first up we got... This isn't like really a big like fight, but it's a notable fight because these are like... two veterans that have been in the UFC for a while.
Whoa, veterans.
Yeah, veterans.
I think Sanchez is the veteran. I think Mickey Gall's still getting there.
You
dude.
Think so? I think Mickey Gall's been in there for a while now too.
Michael Jackson, CM Punk. Can we just forget about those?
Northcutt,
Randy Brown, and some other guy. So can we forget about the first two?
Yeah, we can. So okay, Mickey Gall's seasoned, and yeah, Diego Sanchez is a veteran.
Perfect way to say
seasoned.
It.
Seasoned. There you go.
Corrected. My God, corrected. Your vocabulary is expanding exponentially.
Dude, my vocabulary is so wide, you don't even know.
Your vocabulary.
But yeah, Mickey Gall versus Diego Sanchez. This is, I think this is going to be a really good fight because Gall, yeah, 4-1 in his last five, has beaten Sage Northcutt.
We have strikers here.
Yeah, we got strikers.
They don't throw technical at all.
No. Nope.
It's the setup takedowns. They sprint, they go 1-2, they switch the level. And that leaves you up open for uppercuts like Ngannou did to Velasquez. Those random knees you see once in a while. The thing about a knee, though, I was just... I might have been watching a UFC countdown or embedded. Someone was practicing the knee. They'd have a guy shoot on them. It was Connor. And when someone would shoot the knee on him, the guy was still able to pick his leg up and put him down.
Mm-hmm.
So... hit them in the face. Try not to hit them with
the chest. Yeah. Well, of course, because you hit them in the chest, they can get those rounds right behind the knee and then single leg.
Yep.
Yeah, it's very... But yeah, Sanchez, 2-3 in his last five, has lost to actually some pretty, really good people. He lost to Ally Quinta, Matt Brown, and Joe Lozon, all by round one TKO. So it hasn't really looked good for Sanchez in his last five, but they've been against good fighters, though.
I don't want to call him win or lose or anything like that, but he just hasn't strung together like a bunch of wins in a while.
Yep.
If anything, he'll string together a couple losses in a while, snap it, and then go back in the losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. He does have
I think it's a good fight to kick off the card for sure. Well, the prelims anyways.
I think his longevity has now turned infinitesimal. I feel now truly is the end of his career.
Yep.
We've been saying it for years, but I know for a fact.
I think this is really like going towards it now.
2019 is it.
Yep.
I truly believe it. Like, who else is there for him to fight? He's fought everybody.
Yeah, he's
within
virtually fought everybody in his weight class.
In a span of three divisions.
Yep.
Welterweight, featherweight, and lightweight, so... Anyways, so besides that fight, I want to talk about this...
Well, we didn't say who we thought was going to win. I think Mickey Gall.
Well, this is what I want to talk about. When we say who's going to win, do you want to actually go into it and be like, he's going to win like this? Or do you want to just give a winner like 50-50?
I said a 50-50 with like actually kind of how we might think it'll go.
Okay.
So the way it's been going with
there's
these,
no
like,
money
two
on
guys,
the line.
Yeah. I'd say Mickey Gall takes it probably You know what? Just the way they've been fighting, watch it be another round one TKO for Mickey
Gall. Wow. I don't think so.
You don't think so? You think probably round two stoppage maybe or decision?
I haven't seen much of Mickey Gall striking, but I have seen his double legs.
Yep.
I've seen his top pressure. I've seen his guard passing. And I've seen how he sets up his arm triangles. It's dirty.
Yep. So it could be submission then.
It's freaking dirty. Moving on. Up on here is...
The most notable after that is Zabit Magomed Sharipov.
Zabit Magomed Sharipov.
Versus Jeremy Stevens.
Can you say that fast?
Magomed Sharipov.
Magomed Sharipov.
He's one of my favorite fighters. Of course I could say his name. No problem, without looking at the paper.
He's one of my favorites.
Zabit Magomed Sharipov. There, look, I said it three times without fucking it up.
Give me three more and it'll be $5. I'm just kidding.
Zabit Magomed Sharipov. Zabit Magomed
Sharipov. No, stop. I'm broke.
There,
I'm
you
broke,
owe
broke,
me $5.
How about we bet on a fight? Then you'll get your $5.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But so, yeah, Zabit, 17-1 in his MMA record, 4-0 in the UFC.
Have you seen his only loss? I believe it's in Russia, his first or second loss.
By decision. It was a decision loss, too.
Decision, yeah. That might have lit a fire under his ass.
To, like, get him to, like, yeah, I will never lose again.
No.
Mother Russia. For real, those Russians are crazy right now, man.
4-0 in the UFC. Okay, his last fight was against...
Brandon Davis. He came off that win. Yeah, last fight was Brandon Davis, right? Right? I'm correct. I'm wrong.
He fought someone and the bell didn't ring when he got the knockout and they claimed that it was a knockout.
Oh, was it Kyle Bochniak?
No, that was a decision. Dude, that Kyle Bochniak fight was like the most back and forth featherweight fight I've ever seen. Bochniak is that...
Let's see, he's only four fights. He's got Mike Santiago, which he won round two submission.
They're all submissions except Shane one Murat, decision.
Round three submission against Shaman Moraes. Moraes at Kyle Bochniak, round three decision. And yeah, Brandon Davis, round two submission.
Okay, that Brandon Davis was submission of the year, basically. Do you remember it?
Yeah, that was like he had his back and he tried shrugging him off his back, but he ended up...
Giving up the knee?
He ended up... Well, it's like he wrapped around like the ankle and like put him in like a crucifix slash like triangle slash... I can't even explain it, what it was.
I'd call it knee bar from...
Yeah, it was like
mount.
A knee bar. It was like a knee bar from the back, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe turtled down, not like backpack.
Basically folded him like a table.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Brought his like knee to his face.
And you know what was funny too is that the guy right before him that fought,
yep,
pulled off the same submission. So it was back to back. We're like, oh my
back to back, like back knee bars, whatever you want to call it.
Okay,
so he's fighting
Jeremy Stevens. Three. Ranked number 6. He's still in the top 10.
Yeah, still in
Jeremy
the top
Stevens
10.
Jeremy Stevens still in the top 10. Okay.
In his last five fights, yeah, he's lost to only the best. You know, he's lost to Aldo Moicano.
He
beat Gilbert Melendez in his last five. That was one of his notable wins.
He did.
Yep.
Okay, most of his losses are at lightweight then.
Yep.
Like when he lost to Yves Edwards, Jeremy Stevens. Did Pettis fight him too?
I believe so.
Yeah, he just went through a killer's row. Cerrone, Pettis, Yves Edwards. Yves Edwards, the guy that Jeremy Stevens was running from the cage. And he just, Levine caught up to him and whipped a head kick. Bochniak.
Gilbert Melendez, Duho
Stevens
Troy.
Turns around and just catches that head kick and like, you know, just dies. I mean, I don't want to say he's dead, but I haven't heard from him in a while. And when you don't hear from people in a while, you know, you get a 48-hour window before you just make that conclusion. But yeah.
But this is actually a really good fight.
Dude, like, it shows so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Zabit fades and Jeremy Stephen will always have a haymaker on locked for him. Mm-hmm. So it depends. I think in the first two rounds, Zabit, very elusive.
Very elusive.
Very just cracked.
Picks him apart for the first two rounds.
And then the second round, he's going to start implementing his trips. He does these outside trips. I'm not sure if it's judo or just some sort of fucking sweep. And
I've seen those trips, though, that you're talking about.
Effortless. They are effortless. And Jeremy Stephens, relentless power, can take a hit to give a hit. The only person to really put him away was Jose Aldo with a gut-wrenching body shot that would have dropped anybody in this world.
Round one TKO, so yeah, the body shots were real that night.
Dude, Aldo's like run right now, beating Jeremy Stephens, being Renato Moicano. I think I was going to Moicano too.
Yeah, you chose Moicano over Stephens. I picked Moicano.
Yeah. And he looked good right away too, using his range, frustrating Aldo. And then Aldo said, I'm going to take a hit and deliver the biggest body hook ever. And he slowed down and then he just started unwailing on him. It was disgusting. Tisha Torres, number 7, against Wei Li Zhang, number 15.
Yep. So Wei Li is 2-0 in the UFC right now. 4-1 in her last. She's 17-1 overall record in her MMA career,
and 2-0 in the UFC.
2-0 in the UFC.
She is a prospect. She is somebody to look out for.
Same thing, Tisha though too. She's 2-2 in her last four, but her two losses, Joanna and Andrade.
Yeah, but really Tisha Torres is on and off. She was on and off on the Ultimate Fighter season. She was on and off like during most of her UFC tenure.
So what do you think? This is an on day for Tisha, off day for Tisha? I think probably off.
Okay, when Tisha's on it, my God, does she control the distance well. She uses these like side kicks to like keep the opponent at range, and then she'll do a flurry and look for a takedown if she needs it. But for the most part, it's a lot of side kicks to keep the range so the opponent can't come in. So she usually picks her opponents out at range.
Well, before we get into this fight, though, Zabit Jeremy, who do you think?
Zabit Jeremy? Zabit.
I think Zabit. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Zabit.
I've been on the Zabit hype train for a very, very, very long time.
Same here, man. No, I'm on that train too. I'm gonna still ride it out.
Yeah.
And actually, we skipped the fight before that. Cody Garbrandt and Pedro Munhoz.
Okay, so Pedro Munhoz, if you haven't heard of him, he's a pretty quiet, laid-back Brazilian. BJJ black belt.
4-1 in his last five.
4-1 in his last five. His only loss is
John Dodson.
Dodson beat him.
Yep.
Okay, well, I mean, anyone can lose to Dodson at any time. Especially if this was a couple of years ago when Dodson was like super fast.
Yep.
Super athletic. And he was bald. He was more aerodynamic.
He doesn't have that throw holding him back.
No. That's definitely a factor. That's a win factor.
But yeah, he's only lost in his last five fights is to John Dodson.
Yep. So ever since that, he's just been building a name for himself.
Of course, you know Garbrandt, former UFC bantamweight champ, back-to-back losses to Dillashaw. But I think he's still Cody Garbrandt. I think he's still love.
Yes, he is Cody Garbrandt.
He's no love still.
And that is exactly why I feel he'll beat Munhoz.
Exactly.
Munhoz is like, there's something about him in the press conference where he came across as like a little timid.
Just like, shy and just like...
It could have been humble.
Yeah.
But I felt, to me, this is just my opinion, I felt the pressure had gotten to him a little bit and he wasn't speaking his mind the way he should. I feel he finally opened up when they joked about how good Cody looks and stuff like that. And even that was a little cringy, but it just like played into it. Dude, that mother... press conference, oh my God, the way they had Ben Askren just sitting up there just like ripping on Kamaru Usman.
Yep.
And Tyron Woodley is just like ripping on him too. And then it shows them standing up in the lineup and Marty has his sandals on. That was a good one. That's classic. When you have those press conferences like that, like months from now, you could revisit it and go, that was a nice one. That was a nice one. Okay, so...
Yeah, now we can... We made our picks for that. So yeah, Tisha Torres, Weili Zhang.
Okay.
Do you think the newcomer takes it?
Can you look up her record She's 17-1 and 2-0 in the UFC. Tish Tour is 2-2 in last four. Okay, I think Zhang takes this because I have seen some footage of her on the internet. She's pretty well-rounded, a lot of grappling, good striking. And Tisha Torres is mostly just striking, like weird style. A lot of push kicks to the side, one-twos, circling, push kicks, circling. She's lost four of last two to Joanna and Jessica Andrade. So she's not...
She lost to, like, good people. She didn't just lose to, like, nobodies.
Yeah, but if she's going to get back...
into it, yeah, she's got
to
win.
Back at a title contention, you know, she has a lot of way to work.
Yeah, including this fight. Yeah, she has to win this fight.
Including this fight.
But of course, Zhang, I'm pretty sure Zhang... Show. I'm pretty sure Weili Zhang wants to, you know, get that third win and propel herself to into
this is
a
actually,
higher ranking.
This is Weili Zhang's... what's the name of the fight? Her premier fight, you know?
Yep. Because, like, she was on Fight Nights. Actually, no, she was on the... that was a Fight Night. Yeah,
it was a Fight Night.
It was a Fight Night, yeah. I was going to say Dillashaw and
Did
Garbrandt.
She get a finish?
Actually, no, she fought at UFC 227, and so this is her second.
She made a pay-per-view her first fucking card.
Yep. So this is going to be her second pay-per-view.
Cool.
Yeah, so good for her.
Yeah, good for her.
I'm actually going to go with Zhang.
That'd be smart. It would be smart, because Tisha Torres is on and off lately. She used the same, like, in-and-out push-kick style.
Hey, if this girl's only got one loss and she's 2-0 in the UFC, and yeah, I think this girl's going to take it.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Plus, I heard Tisha Torres was pregnant not too long ago. How much did that affect her training?
Yep, that's true.
All that crap. Okay.
So we officially chose it. Me and David are going with Zhang.
Okay, three more fights to come up.
Next one up, Robbie Lawler versus Ben Askren. Robbie Lawler, number 6 versus unranked Ben Askren, because this is going to be his UFC debut and coming out of retirement.
Put a ranking on him right now in the UFC top 10. Where the frick would he belong? I'm going to say number 6 or 5.
Let's see. We're going to go into the official rankings here.
I'd say he belongs at 6 or 5. And with a win over Robbie is number 6. So, yeah, so he would go to 5 or 6. This totally makes sense.
Let's take a look at the welterweights.
By the way, this is the worst matchup for Robbie to enter the UFC in. If Robbie can stuff his takedowns like he did to Hendricks for, like, the half of the round, because this is only a 3-rounder, by the way. He was able to stuff his takedowns.
It's not a main event. Yeah.
He was able to stuff Koscheck's takedowns. Was able to stuff Matt Brown. He was able to stuff in Strikeforce. He got put up against a couple of wrestlers. Not King Mo. Lorenz Larkin. And he beat the crap out of Lorenz Larkin. But then he tested positive for steroids.
All right. So in the welterweight, we got number 1. Well, the champ is Tyron Woodley. Number 1, Kobe Covington. Number 2, Kamaru Usman. Then Darren Till. Wonderboy Thompson. Rafael Dos Anjos, Robbie Lawler at number 6.
Yeah.
Santiago Ponzinibbio. I can never say this guy's name.
Ponzinibbio. There you go.
See, I can say Magomed Sharipov and you can say that one. We have the names we can say and can't say.
Magomed Sharipov.
So number 8, Damian Maia, number 9, Leon Edwards, and Jorge Masvidal at number 10. I think Askren, I don't know, to be honest, because he's been out of... How long has he been out of 1-4?
He fought Shinya Aoki back in 27, I believe. If it wasn't 27, it was early 2018. So it's been a minute.
I'd say he's probably in that 5-6 between Dos Anjos and Lawler.
Yeah.
Like, he could take one of their spots.
He could beat so many of the top 10. There's just certain guys in the top 10 I don't think you get around.
Yeah.
I think...
that's why I say he sits around that 6-7 spot. Like, Dos Anjos spot, Lawler spot.
In middleweight.
And right behind... And it would be the 5-6 spot. Not 6-7. 5-6 spot. Yeah, Dos Anjos, Lawler. I see only Wonderboy, Till, Usman, and Covington, and Woodley being slightly better than Askren.
There used to be rolling footage of Damian Maia rolling with Ben Askren.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it.
Damian Roland, Damian Maya. Sorry, I'm going to shut up for a second because I need to correct myself.
I've actually
Marcelo Garcia had rolled
with Ben Askren.
With Ben Askren. And then Marcelo Garcia had rolled with Damian Maya. And I'd say that they both get equally messed up. Yeah. And this is old, too.
Yep.
Damn, that's...
Well, I've seen some of Askren's old wrestling footage, and man, he looks...
Funky.
It's insane what he does on a mat.
Just constant ankle picks to back takes and like arm drags and a leg pick, push him down and up on side control.
Yep.
Oh my God.
I think this is going to be a great fight to watch, but I'm picking Askren with the edge.
Yeah, that could totally happen. I think Askren, as long as he holds pressure against the cage, takes him down, does some punishment, maybe even look for a submission. He doesn't have to get the submission, but if he could try, that'll look so good in the ref cards.
Yeah.
Because Robbie will be too defensive to strike.
Yep, yep.
I think one big flurry from Lawler will be all he has. I see Marty getting clipped a little, but he's so good at switching levels, looking for an opening, all that stuff. Robbie goes back on his back. He complains, he's in his butterfly guard, he just goes, and then the fight's over. And that is that's the way she goes.
So next up, Tyron Woodley, the champ, versus Kamaru Usman, number two.
Okay. Now, I don't want to sound too much of a fanboy here, but
Woodley is coming off that very solid victory versus Darren Till.
Yep. His first Samir submission career win.
Yep.
He
got his BJJ black belt after the fight.
After the fight.
Yep.
Can you see it in his face?
The joy.
It meant more to him getting that black belt than it did getting
retaining,
that UFC.
Retaining the title.
Especially now considering they're changing the belts to make it look like Henry Cejudo.
Yep.
Like, who the fuck wants one of those?
I guess certain people do.
Yeah.
To each their own.
Cejudo looks good with it. I'll admit that. But if TJ was rocking it or ESP, I'd be like, boy, like I can't. Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah, Woodley's also got notable wins versus Wonderboy Thompson, Gastelum, Maya, and of course Robbie Lawler, who's on the card too.
Former champ, former title contender, Ultimate Fighter winner, former
Here's the funny thing about against these like two fighters. After the last five, they both beaten Damian Maya.
Yeah, well, Maya should have been champ for the longest time. Usman's recent wins, RDA and Maya. Woodley's got the experience by like three times as much.
Yep.
I've never seen Kamaru Usman get knocked out.
He is still undefeated in the UFC too.
Yeah, but I have seen Woodley get knocked out, but it was so long ago. I doubt that's the same Woodley. Besides,
no, he looked a lot different in the Till fight. I liked how he looked in the Darren Till fight.
Really hesitant. He pushed him against the wall like that. He got double underhooks.
Yep.
He wore him out. It was a very boring first round, but by the time the second round came,
the fight Till started. Was desperate. The fight was starting to pick up.
It was desperate because Till figured, okay, he's just gonna drain me unless I do something. If I don't do anything, I'm done. So what Till does is he sets up a counter like this. He'll fake, 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 and then he leads like this, uppercut straight. So all Woodley had to look for was just a fake, 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 and then when he throws the when he throws the uppercut, Woodley's right hand just like super hard. It was just beautiful. So what else do you have to say about Woodley Usman? I just say that the records speak for themselves, you know? It's like you shouldn't always judge a fighter based on the record because things could happen during the camp, injuries, all kinds of stuff, mental games. But for the most part, Robbie Lawler, since his return to the UFC, has been nothing short of spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
He's won a belt. He's defended the belt. He's got fight of the year like three freaking times, you know, like, so yeah. You think Lawler or Asuka?
Asuka in that fight for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Asuka too. I'm just saying don't count out Robbie Lawler.
Yep. No, do not count him out at all.
My boy. Like, when he beat Johnny Hendricks to get the belt the second time because he got robbed the first time, I was the only person going for Robbie Lawler in my house. Everyone was quiet, and I was like, yeah! Yeah! Sick.
But I could see Tyron Woodley, like, you know, just... Yeah, I could see Woodley coming up on top in this fight against Usman. Even though Usman, like I've said, is undefeated, he's riding a little bit of a good win streak versus some really notable fighters.
Yeah.
But like you said, his resume compared to Woodley's resume, it's way, way, way different. Like, Woodley's got the more experience against the more higher caliber fighters.
Can I just point out one thing?
Sure.
One thing.
Go ahead,
baby. I think Tyron Woodley's striking is really one-dimensional.
Oh, you think so? Yeah, actually.
Very one-dimensional.
Now that I'm thinking about it, yeah.
Let's parry, 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 and retreat. Let's retreat until we hit a fence. Then, when I feel I'm fainting enough, big overhand right, and if it doesn't work, I'll circle away. And that's how it works. Either that happens, or he pushes the person to the cage with feints, like against Robbie Lawler. He had him, he fanked the right, he double fanked the left, and then he came over the top, and it just knocked out Lawler. So...
I remember being downtown Montreal, watching that, like, on the street.
On the street?
Yeah, because, like...
I couldn't find a place,
and, like, literally the fight just started outside a sports center, and I'm like, you know what, I'm not going inside, I'm just gonna stand out here on the street and watch it. And they had, like, eight screens on, like, me and the guy who was doing security, the rope dude, just me and him were watching it. I'm like, dude, I'm like, I hope you don't mind if I just sit here, stand here and watch it with you. He's like, not at all, man.
So it wasn't that bad.
No, actually, the security guy was like into it too. Like, he knew his stuff too. And like, we were just like shooting the shit on like MMA. And of course, like, we were both like waiting for the fight. And when we both seen it, you had to hear both of our reactions like, that was gangster. That was straight up gangster.
That was gangster.
Yep.
All right.
But yeah, I
have a question to ask you before we finish the sheet.
I picked Tyron over Kamaru Usman, though.
Yeah?
Yep. By a smidge. Just because Kamaru Usman is Usman, too. But Tyron Woodley is Tyron Woodley.
Tyron, too, because he's proven to be a dominant champ. Very well-rounded.
Mm-hmm.
Very explosive. His only thing is that he gets faded in the fourth and fifth. But even when he's faded, he doesn't look like he's, like, dead.
No,
he's just noticeably slower.
Yep.
That's it.
You notice he picks his shots a lot more carefully.
Yeah,
and...
yeah, yeah. And he dropped Wonderboy in the fifth round, too, of their last fight. So it's like he's always dangerous.
He's always got that power, no matter what.
Can you remember the knockouts that Tyron Woodley scored on the way to becoming UFC welterweight champ? They're some of the most devastating knockouts ever. He started off his debut fighting, was Jay Heron. Jay Heron was his first victim, and he just bulldozed him. He ran at him, hit him with a right hand. Like, he literally ran across the octagon, hit him with a right hand, and Jay Heron died.
You look at his first five fights, round one submission, round two against Salvador Woods, his second fight.
You're in Strikeforce days, huh?
Yeah.
Go up to the UFC.
The UFC days.
Because I watched Andre Galval fight in Strikeforce. I've watched his Nate Marquardt fight.
Jay Heron. Yeah, round one KO, TKO.
Yeah, I know.
Then Jake Shields, round three split decision. Koscheck, right? Oh, I remember the Koscheck knockout.
Okay, so that was his UFC debut. That was his run. I called it Jay Heron, but it was actually Koscheck.
Yep.
So he hits Koscheck with a big right hand. Koscheck crumbles to his knees, but his upright body is still up. So Tyron Woodley hits him with a 1-2 while his legs are crumbly. The way he goes back doing the scorpion like he's praying for Jesus or something.
His next fight, round two, KO against Carlos Condit.
Wow. Do you remember that fight?
I do.
Was it a really KO?
No, not really.
It was a knee injury.
Yeah.
Carlos ate bombs, I'll admit it. But hitting heads, hitting shots to your head shouldn't make your leg just destroy everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Maybe he was off balance, like he was a little sideways, and when he got hit, his leg went inwards.
Yeah. It's like those freak accidents. That, like, remember when Gonzaga knocked out Krokop? Just the way he fell, and he injured himself. His leg, and you see it, his leg, like, twisted. It just happens, you know, that freak accident, you're off balance. Another freak accident. Look at Anderson Silva fighting
Weidman
number two, breaking his leg right in half off a leg kick.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Freak accidents, they just happen.
Do you remember when John Jones fought Chael Sonnen?
And the slip, the number two. The number two fight between them, you know, Chael Sonnen tries to do the spinning back fist and just fell.
Wins all round one.
Round two, tries to do the spinning backflip.
Pay attention to round two, though. Silva's just grabbing his shorts,
yep.
Pulling the fans, trying to, like, smack his face and all this
That's
shit.
That's what everyone said, like, Silva was cheating in that fight, grabbing shorts.
And I think Sonnen, he didn't cheat by grabbing the fence, but he's seen him quartered, and he's just like, if I hit this, my career will be the most legendary thing ever.
Oh, boom. Slip. Whoop.
Falls on the floor, and Anderson Silva's just like... Now you're my bitch, mother.
Yeah, I'm just gonna throw knees at you and...
This is my world now.
Yep, yep.
Okay.
But yeah, Tyron Woodley with... let's see. Since he's gotten into UFC... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... He's got 5 wins by TKO. Out of... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 out of 11 matches, 5 of them are TKO.
Yeah.
And they're all devastating knockouts too.
And people shit on him.
They shit on him just because of that one Wonder Boy fight where they just parried around the whole ring and just...
From Thiago Silva's at UFC 100 all the way up until he fought Carlos Condit in 2012. Because Carlos Condit in 2012, Condit dropped him with a head kick, almost finished him. GSP just took him down, literally turned Carlos' face in like the fucking bloody massacre murder.
Yep.
And it was so exciting, it got fight of the night. So people were like, well, it wasn't boring, it got fight of the night. Then he fought Diaz, and that got another fight of the night. And then he fought Hendricks, and his career went to shit.
Yeah.
So it had to take his comeback fight to fight Bisping for him to like, truly leave at the top. 2 belts, bonus awards, new fans, new city.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Woodley still.
Oh.
But yeah, no, like, you're right, though. Everyone did shit on Woodley for, you know, a bit because of that boring fight with Wonder Boy.
The way he speaks to.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear of all the stuff where he just brings every topic into being a racist argument towards black people?
I've noticed that.
Especially in when you come from a native reserve, we're brown, we're stuck to the same people, yet we love everybody. We don't just go around being like, oh, that guy's racist because of this. It's like, no. That guy is racist because he's a dick.
Dana White's racist because he took my belt and gave it to Conor McGregor.
No, dude, you like to complain, you like to talk shit about the boss, and you're very inactive.
Yep.
Give it to Conor. But that was a mistake.
Yeah, because the UFC...
Conor likes to talk back. Conor doesn't fight.
I remember the whole fiasco because they didn't have another belt in the ring, not the building, I mean. So they're like, Woodley, we got to borrow your belt.
Yeah. Good thing he did it. He could have been like, fuck no, that guy talks shit about me all the time.
Like, go tell him to get his own belt.
Are you going to be able to censor that?
Yeah, okay. Of course.
Thank God. I keep slipping up today. I don't know. It's like late at night.
It's natural. Drink. So moving on to the main juicy part of this event.
What?
John Bones Jones versus ranked number 3, Anthony Smith.
You want to start it off for me?
Can I just start off by saying I think Smith's going to get destroyed.
Destroyed?
I think so.
Destroyed, you say?
Destroyed, I say.
To shreds, you say?
To shreds, I think.
Okay.
I really think so.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you that Anthony Smith has only been with a major camp just during his recent UFC run. John Jones has been in a major camp and has even switched over to other camps
since the beginning.
Throughout the years, since he was a champ like 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some high level coaching. Not only that, he has the attributes to beat him. He has longer arms. Sure, Jimmy Smith is just as tall and has long legs, but Jones's arms is almost like 6.5 reaches longer than them. So he still got his advantage. Not only that, I don't think, I don't believe Smith has the takedown defense to really stop Jones from getting him there.
Yep.
So I think the same plan he did with Alexander Gustafsson, he will strike with him for a bit. I think he's rangy enough, crafty enough.
Then he's going to go into that clinch game later around.
Clinch game, tire him out. Maybe even try that shoulder crank he did on Glover Teixeira to to injure him. Then he shot a double on Gustafsson in the third. So I don't know if it's going to happen again in the third, but I'm going to say it will happen on the third. And from there, Smith won't be able to get up. It's over, just like Gustafsson. Jones has really solidified himself as one of the best G and pound artists besides GSP, DC, and Khabib. It's just as simple as that.
Yep.
So, well, I'm not saying it's just as simple as that. Who knows? I mean, maybe.
It's MMA. We've seen stranger things, you know.
It's MMA, and you know, what's his name? Anthony Smith.
Yeah, he's got three notable wins. Well, I'd say
they're all finishes too.
One of them, Rashad Evans, like...
washed up.
Yeah, he's very washed up. He's very, like, at the end of his, like...
Shogun career. Is still
but
there.
Shogun's still in the middle.
But he's older. He's way older than he is being young.
But his win against Volkan Ozdemir, that's a notable win. Because Volkan is good.
He didn't beat Volkan.
No, he didn't.
He beat Tyson Pedro. That's one of those new guys you're thinking of. Tyson Pedro's a jiu-jitsu dude. And before that, he beat... He beat Jean Villain. Those are his only TKO wins recently.
No, he won round three submission against Volkan back in October 27th, UFC Fight Night.
Oh, Smith.
Yeah, we'll talk about Smith. You know, I'll talk about Bones Jones. No, he hasn't fought Volkan yet. But no, I'm talking about Smith. Yeah, he's beaten Shogun, Rashad. But like we said, Rashad's a little, you know, way past being relevant.
Dude, Shogun
still
star coaching.
Shogun's still relevant though. Shogun Hua,
he's won 4 out of 5. What other kind of washed up 37-year-old bums have a 4 out of 5 record, especially over some top dogs?
Well, Volkan Ozdemir, yeah, is ranked number 5 right now. That's his last.
Look up Tyson Pedro. That to me, that was one of Shogun's biggest wins in recent years because Tyson Pedro should not have been taken lightly. He's a good strike. He was bred into MMA. Good striker, good submissions, good clinch, and Shogun just big daddied him.
Yeah, he got performance of the night for that fight.
Shogun?
Yeah.
Oh, my boy. You know, every Shogun fight, I've had a shirt since 2011. I was fat, by the way, so the shirt's baggy on me.
It's a little baggy.
It's baggy on me. I rock it every Shogun fight to this day. It has to be done.
It's the lucky shirt, eh?
It's lucky, but if I'm not going to wear that Shogun shirt, who else is going to wear that Shogun shirt?
Nobody, eh? Nobody.
Because y'all haters, all right? Y'all some motherfucking haters, all right?
All right, so last thoughts on the main event for UFC 235.
Okay, we're cutting it short now?
Yep.
Okay, well, okay, let's do our last thoughts. Then I want to do a little something about Fight Quest, and we'll get out of here.
Yep, that was just this past weekend. So, yeah, I say John Jones comes out on top, Anthony Smith.
John Jones over Anthony Smith, yeah, that sounds very, very, very reasonable. I think so, because John Jones' championship experience, his reach, his length,
coming off a great victory off Gustafsson.
The most dominant victory ever of his career.
And it wasn't that long ago either.
Dude.
It was like 2 months ago.
Dude, it feels like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like yesterday.
It's actually like pretty cool to see John Jones like being this active.
I know. It reminds me of his first title run.
Yep.
So the way I see it now, this is his second title run.
Yep. Because of course
it's his third.
Because of course it's vacant right now.
He's the three division champ. Three-time UFC champ, I mean, because he did it off of Shogun, DC, and now Gustafsson. So, yeah. Okay, so some closing final remarks.
Yeah, Fight Quest was just this past Saturday here at the Knights of Columbus in Gunawage. I couldn't make it because I was working another job, but I heard it was, one, a packed house.
Dude, that was the most
completely
packed.
Sold out, I heard.
It was absolutely the most packed I've ever seen at
Fight
Quest.
And I heard
Fight
your
Quest.
Boy won Fight of the Night, too.
Dude, James Cardinal Lozon. James Cardinal Lozon, I watched him put in the work, but he was also working at other gyms, so I couldn't see everything. And my coach, Levy, a little off topic, but he always tells me, he's like, look, out of all my students, he's like, only 5 to 10% of them ask to train with the hardest of the hardest. He's like, and that builds character, that builds champions, blah, 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 blah. So I was thinking about it, and I didn't know James was in camp. This was a couple of weeks ago. And I'm like, so what, James, let's spar. It went good for like 5 minutes. Then he figured me out and he just started clocking me in the body. And I was like, and I had to like, I was winded so bad. Okay. So on the card, James Cardinal Lozon had fought at 180 pounds and he's been working hard for this. For the majority of the camp, he has spent at VMMA, VNU MMA, located in Gunawage. But he has also split his time between Gracie Baja on West Island, I believe. And he trains with his coach, Matthew Ruzniak. Those guys have come over to VMMA to do some jiu-jitsu rounds. I remember this not too long ago. These are Gracie guys. And from what I remember back then, from a couple of years ago, James would wear MMA gloves while he grappled, which really showed me that he was into this, like, completely, like, grappling without gloves and grappling with gloves. Two different ball games. Completely two different ball games. Yeah. So besides James Lozon fighting at this card, James Lozon fought Todd Alvrum. He's from Ontario, and he's the man that's looking to go pro soon. And the other fighters that have competed for Fight Quest and have gone on to have great careers include Ayman Zahabi, who's UFC bantamweight, Yoan Lanez, the White Lion. He's currently signed with TKO. Olivier Auburn-Mercier, he's a UFC lightweight. My striking coach, Levy Labrie, he was a former pro, but he made his amateur debut in Fight Quest before fighting for a couple of promotional MMA shows in Montreal. This is all, of course, before he turned into a pro striking coach for VMMA, as well as other professional UFC fighters at TriStar. Pierre Tiverge, nearly signed TKO fighter out of VMMA. Yeah. Man, such a great card. Like, I didn't get to watch all the fights live. I showed up a little late. I was waiting for my brother, but I've watched at least a good 5 fights out of 12. So I've seen the majority of them. And there was a fighter that was fighting out of David Loiseau's camp against I think their camp is called Big Country.
Oh, was his name Bruce Clark?
I'm not sure. I would have to go on the Facebook page to look at it. I just didn't mark down my notes for this because I figured...
Yeah, Alexander Nwazo, H2O, MMA, Sabritz, Bruce Clark, Big Country, via tap out, rear naked choke, minute into round 2.
It's against the Crow guy?
I think so.
Because David Loiseau's team's on there. But that fight really impressed me. From the start to the finish, it may have lasted a minute at most. But within that minute, it was action-packed, non-stop. Like good exchanges. And then finally, what's his name? Not David Loiseau's guy, the other dude. From the guy from Big Country, he took the guys back and in a matter of an instant, just secure the check, secure the neck, and choke them out. Like, literally rendered him unconscious. I was standing right in front of him, and I had to yell, he's out, he's out, he's out, he's out, he's out, he's out. which is not the first time, of course, at grappling tournaments. I've seen people go out, and I seem to be the only one to catch on. I'm like, he's out, he's out, he's out.
I think we can about wrap this up and
yeah, okay, you're
give
right.
a shout out to our sponsors.
Fight Quest was the last thing that I wanted to go for. So another big shout out to my friend James Cardinal Lozon. James is an employee at Havana. Havana is also one of our sponsors. It was really cool for, you know, the crew, because Havana is also part of VMMA. Like, you'll finish a class of VMMA or even come watch the fights with them all hanging out in the same place. So, you know, watching his hard work pay off was really something to behold. Yeah.
So, yeah, the Combat Spotlight is sponsored by Havana Cigar Lounge, your premier spot for a great, relaxing, and friendly atmosphere, wide selection of cigars, and great staff. They also show UFC events and hockey games under multiple big-screen TVs. So you can visit Havana Cigar, Lounge located on Highway 138 in Ganawage at the Rainbow Plaza.
Okay. Ready when you are.
So I guess that wraps it up for this week. So hopefully everybody enjoys UFC 235, John Jones versus Anthony Smith, with a bunch of other great talent. It's a stacked card.
Oh, yeah. All right.